Frank Madden joining us to talk some Bucks, the Lockdown Bucks podcast, the creator, the founder, emeritus of Brew Hoop. Frank, good morning. How are you, bud?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Doing well.
Hey, Frank, when you find out, like we did, you know, a couple of hours or an hour before the game, that Giannis is not going to play in a game, do you kind of write that game off and just say, if they win, it's just a bonus, but I don't really expect them to win tonight, no matter who they're playing?
I think it certainly changes the complexion of the game and what you're expecting to get out of it. I mean, a road game, especially against a Washington team that, I mean, as you said, they've been playing better since John Wall has been injured. You just never know, and I think what we saw there was, you know, they hit a ton of threes, right, which you can do something about, but to some extent, you know, you kind of just tip your cap when they're hitting threes the way they were. So, you know, even if you have your full lineup against a team that's just making a lot of threes, that can be difficult, especially on the road. So I think certainly to some extent, but, you know, I think it's also a good test. I mean, they've won a couple other games they've played without Giannis this year before that. And, you know, you look at a team like Toronto, who you're obviously neck and neck with in the East. I mean, I think to Toronto's credit, I mean, they've won a ton of games, even though they've been missing, you know, Kawhi's been missing basically every back-to-back, and Kyle Lowry's been dinged up for some time. So I think it's a good test of the depth of the team. I think that's been, you know, maybe something that has surprised a lot of people, just how deep the team has been this year. So I think it's a good test to see how good you can be without Giannis, because, you know, hopefully he's never injured for any type of extended period, but you also want to make sure that, you know, you're not stuck and just incapable of winning without him. So obviously good news is he was back on Sunday, and hopefully we don't see him out for any extended period.
Talking with Frank Madden with Brew Hoop, for me it's interesting because, and Lockdown Bucks podcast, founder of Brew Hoop, for me it's interesting because I think the depth is one of these things that is going to push the Bucks possibly to the finals. I think watching DJ Wilson emerge and having some guys that, you know, are on the bench that were getting minutes at the beginning of the season, they can just go to all these other options. I think that is a very strong point of this team. Yet when Giannis is out, the guys aren't maybe good enough to get a victory in most cases. And I feel like I'm waiting for one of those other guys. Like, if Giannis is out a night, shouldn't Chris Middleton step up and kind of take over a game? Shouldn't Eric Bledsoe kind of step and take over a game? Do you think these guys that play this role of the number two, whether it's Lopez or Brogdon or Middleton or Bledsoe, are they good enough to lead a team without Giannis, or are they better served as a complement to the Greek Freak?
I think in the grand scheme, they're certainly better served being complements. I think one of the questions I have, just, you know, thinking about this team, obviously we know that they're going to be really good in the regular season. Now the big question is just, what do they look like in the playoffs? I think the big question for me is just, you know, they have all these guys who, on kind of, you were alluding to it, on any given night, really any of the other starters can be a number two type guy, can give you really big production. Obviously, you hope you get multiple guys performing at a really high level every night. But in terms of, you know, if Giannis is out, all right, who are you really going to count on is really going to, you know, be really good? You know, last year Chris Middleton was really good generally when Giannis was out. I mean, I don't remember what his numbers were, but he had some monster games when Giannis was out. Obviously, Chris is just kind of getting back to kind of the better form that we got used to at the beginning of the season. He had that slump in December. He's been playing a bit better. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's just generally one of the questions, you know, on any given night, and it's going to be even more important during the playoffs, you know, hopefully when you do have Giannis, you know, can you count on kind of that all-star caliber play from Middleton or Bledsoe or, you know, Lopez, right? He's a big X factor because you never know. Sometimes he's going to have a monster shooting night. Sometimes, you know, he maybe doesn't match up as well. Brogdon has been very good, very consistently of late, but, you know, not quite at that, like, you know, all-star caliber level. So I think it's a big question for them. I think probably when, you know, you ask people in the national media kind of what they're going to have most questions about going into the playoffs, it's going to be, well, the Bucks don't have that second, you know, superstar, you even kind of locked in all-star type player. We'll see if they get a second all-star. But I think that's a very valid question to kind of keep asking, and obviously to some extent we won't know until the playoffs probably.
It's a good question. Who's the Bucks, like, number two guy after Giannis? My question is, do they need someone to truly be defined in that role? Because there's been a lot of attention towards Malcolm Brogdon lately. He's been playing very well. Brooke Lopez has been playing very well. Eric Bledsoe, a nice season. Chris Middleton, I know, can be polarizing at times. But if you have these four guys, if one of them can take that mantle and be the number two, as you look toward this team in the future, if there's not a clear guy, I mean, I'm talking, if Chris Middleton is like the clear number two, well, then he's going to get paid $30 million in the offseason. If Malcolm Brogdon is the clear number two, I mean, he could get $20 million from a team in the offseason. But if these guys kind of bounce around, and you're almost long-term, Frank, are rooting for some of these guys to maybe have cold stretches to maybe devalue how they could be on the open market. It's just a weird thing right now where the Bucks have all these guys that are free agents and could get paid, and the better they play, almost the more it's going to cost either another team to go get them or the Bucks to try to keep these guys next season.
It's a very devious way to think about it, Bart, but I totally get what you're saying. You know, you oftentimes you think about it as like young guys who are going to be restricted free agents, and you know, do you hold down their minutes so that the rest of the league can't see how good they are, things like that. Obviously, these guys are, you know, beyond that. You know, the starters obviously aren't a secret to anybody. But I think there's a huge, I think the playoffs are going to be a huge deciding factor as far as, you know, especially like the market for what these guys look like. I mean, you know, Chris Middleton last year, incredible in that first round series against the Celtics. I mean, his shooting was lights out. I mean, if that Chris Middleton is a guy you get, you know, even for half of the playoffs or something like that, like every other night he's that hot and the other nights he's just, you know, average Chris Middleton, you'd be pretty thrilled. And I'm sure someone is going to, you know, if the Bucks don't want to pay him that kind of money, then someone else will. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I mean, Lopez is maybe the most fascinating guy just because some matchups, you know, against teams that can go smaller, can put guys on him out and cover him out to the, you know, 30-foot line where you like shoot threes. I mean, is he even going to be a guy that you close games with in the playoffs? I think it's really interesting to see kind of how he'll be used in the playoffs. And, you know, is he going to be a key factor in every series or maybe just certain series? So I think there's a huge, you know, show me component for all these guys in the playoffs. I think, you know, Bledsoe, obviously, after the disappointing playoffs last spring, I mean, he actually had a really good second half of the season, then kind of laid that egg for most of that playoff series against the Celtics. So, you know, I think probably for all these guys, I mean, they're really in a position where, hey, things are going really well in the regular season, but to a large extent, you know, their future, the amount of money they're going to make in the offseason, it's going to be driven largely by kind of how good they look in the playoffs. And, you know, can they convince the Bucks or another team that they're a guy worth investing really big money in? Or, you know, are they a guy like, you know, they're pretty good, but we don't want to, you know, give them big bucks, especially with some of these guys getting closer to their 30th birthdays when, you know, obviously a guy like Bledsoe has some injury history. We haven't really seen it in Milwaukee, but, you know, do you want to give Eric Bledsoe a long-term contract given kind of his age, 29, and some of those, you know, shaky playoff performance we've seen last spring? Certainly, if he can change the narrative on that makes a big difference in terms of what his market will look like next summer.
Giannis played Sunday, but he didn't play Friday. But it doesn't sound like he was 100% when he played Sunday through the hip and the quad injury. Wouldn't you almost rather have him sit out a few games and get back to 100% instead of trying to push through this?
Yeah, it was interesting with the game in Atlanta because, again, the Hawks are a team that you look at, you know, you might say, well, we can maybe get away with not playing Giannis big minutes in this game. But, you know, the flip side is Giannis is just a competitor who doesn't like to miss games. Mm-hmm. So we saw last year he had that one stretch, I think it was in January, where he was held out of a few games in a row to kind of rest that knee issue he had a year ago. And so at that point, they were able to kind of convince him to do that, even though the team was obviously not doing very well at that point or not doing as well, certainly, as they are now. But different kind of pressure this year, right? I mean, they're right there with the Raptors at the top of the East. At the top of the league. So, you know, I'm sure Giannis looks at all these games and probably felt, you know, on Friday, even though he was just doing what he should do, you know, he's just so competitive, he probably feels like, oh, man, I wanted to be out there. You know, I wanted to help my team win a game that we should have. So I think there's a good argument for it. I think especially a game like Sunday against the Hawks, like, well, maybe just steal another day of rest for him, especially with a back-to-back coming on Tuesday, Wednesday against the Heat and Grizzlies. So I'm going to be really curious to see, you know, does he get held out of, for instance, maybe the back-to-back in Memphis if he hasn't kind of fully recovered? You know, a hip injury can be kind of a thing that lingers for a while, and we'll see. You know, hopefully, knock on wood, he's ready to go and can keep playing game in, game out, because obviously when you're this good, on the one hand, you have a little bit of margin for error, but on the other side, you know, there are a lot of teams chasing the Bucks in the East, and obviously they want to keep locked into to one of those very top seeds. So I think it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. He's a tough guy. He can play through pain. We saw that this weekend. But Yeah, I mean, I agree. You got to keep the big picture in mind first and foremost.
Yeah, it's like Toronto. They won't play Kawhi Leonard back-to-back on a Saturday night last week. They played him against the Bucks, and then the next night against Indiana, another big game, another contender in the East. They sat him, still won the game, but they sat him out of the game. And I'm okay, even if it's a chance of losing the game, which, you know, there is, even without Giannis yesterday against Atlanta. They could have got beat without Giannis. That might have been a different game. But I'm willing, you know, at this point, if Giannis, just to get healed and to be healthy, even if it means a loss or two, just like the Raptors, they'll take a loss if it means just resting their guy.
Yeah, and obviously with Kawhi, there's an extra dimension there because, you know, he was basically missed most of last year with the quad injury. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been concern that could be like a degenerative type injury with a really, you know, potentially a really problematic long-term prognosis. And obviously that was the reason why the whole relationship in San Antonio kind of broke down. And so obviously there's some more politics there with Kawhi as well, right? They're trying to impress him for this summer. And again, I don't know exactly how Kawhi feels about being held out of back-to-backs, but obviously they're trying to manage that. They're kind of, walking on eggshells a little bit with Kawhi. But, you know, flip side, I agree. I mean, especially if there's a risk of him re-injuring, making it worse, maybe having to miss more time down the road because it's not taken care of now. I think that's your biggest concern, right? If it's an injury, and I don't know enough about Giannis's the quad and the hip injuries. I don't know enough about those to say if that's the case with this. Obviously, if it's just the kind of thing where he's not going to really make it worse. It's just going to, you know, be bothersome, and you hope that then you get to a spot, especially later in the week. I think Wednesday, I think that's Thursday, Friday off. You know, if you're just trying to get to that, maybe that's the strategy. Or like we said, maybe you sit him out Wednesday against Memphis and there. So, yeah, I think definitely worth watching. I think you just never like to see Giannis on the injury report, even if he is playing. And so hopefully it's something that, in a couple of weeks will resolve itself and he'll be good to go.
Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks. Frank, as far as the Bucks in the next couple of weeks, they do have the trade deadline that looms February 7, I believe. Where do they look to add if it's buyout market, if there is something that they can fit in salary-wise? Of course, they've already made the one key trade, getting George Hill in and some of that contract cap space out. Are you looking for them to make a move? And if you were in charge, where would you be looking?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think the good news is there's no move that they like have to make at this point. You know, I mean, they're obviously, the record speaks for itself. You know, with the exception of kind of the, I know we just talked about Giannis and his health for a bit, but overall, obviously, and again, I'm going to knock on wood as I say this, but you don't look at your roster and say, well, you know, we're out this starter for 3 months, or you know, you're missing some key piece. Obviously, if there's an injury between now and the trade deadline, then that may certainly impact the way they approach it. But for the most part, you know, I think you have to be pretty happy with obviously your starting five, and also look at your bench and feel like you've got, very good depth, and you've got, you know, players who aren't playing, who have played, you know, at various points in the season, who, you know, like Pat Connaughton, for instance, right? I mean, he really kind of won himself a spot for a few weeks, shot really well, played, you know, good defense, used his athleticism, and then, you know, basically went cold and other guys stepped up, and Pat, I think, got dinged up a little bit, and then, you know, he hasn't really been back in the rotation since. So I think that again, there's nothing they have to do. I think the probably most interesting spot, just in terms of depth, and, you know, does Mike Budenholzer entirely trust, you know, a certain part of his rotation? You might say the big spots. Obviously, they traded Henson away. Fun Maker has been better this year. You know, he had that great game against Utah, but then hasn't really played since then. So, obviously, I think there's a question around that. Ersan, you know, he's a Bud guy. Obviously, played for him in Atlanta. Ersan's been kind of up and down. I think Ersan is, you know, still a useful rotation guy in the regular season. You know, gets a team like Atlanta, yeah, he looks totally fine. I think he's the kind of guy who, though, will get exposed more as you play against good teams, as you kind of look forward to the playoffs. So, would be interesting to me. I mean, Ersan's also not really a center. Do you try to get a guy who can maybe be a maybe still be a center, maybe even more mobile guy? You know, Dwayne Dedman, who didn't play for the Hawks on Sunday. Again, he's a guy that obviously played for Bud in Atlanta. He's going to be a free agent this summer. I don't know if you can get him in the buyout market or if you'd have to trade for him. You probably wouldn't have to give up a lot. Maybe, you know, Jason Smith and a second-round pick or something like that. Again, are you interested in doing that, giving up an asset for a guy on a rental, basically? Does it matter that much to you, especially the way the NBA is heading with centers not being all that important? That's kind of one of those philosophical questions I think the Bucks have to ask, because at this point, it's really all about your playoff rotation. And I think, again, I think as far as the regular season goes, you probably feel pretty happy. But I just don't see a big trade coming, just because again, most of their starters other than Giannis are obviously free agents, so it's, I think it'd be hard to make a move there. And obviously things are generally going pretty well, even with certain guys not having shot as well as they could. So, again, probably more or less stand pat and kind of ride this out, see how good this team can be in the playoffs. But again, maybe some tinkering around the edges, if anything.
Frank Madden, appreciate it. You can find out his work with Eric Name on that Lockdown Bucks podcast. Always good stuff. And we will talk to you down the road, Frank. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.